Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Wednesday, June the 11th, 2025, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 103 and we'll be talking about the first paragraph. We are careful never to show intolerance. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Anita J, 12 Traditions, Christina L, and readers of the text, Susan G, Reva P, and Judith S.P. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, June the 10th, 2025, the 7 a.m. meeting, 22509, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 22510. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Anita J. is going to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Anita.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for your service. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to ourselves and to another human being and to God the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do this service pass.
Thank you, Anita J. And Christina L. is going to read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Christina.
Thanks, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. Christina L. from Florida, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, Pat.
Thank you, Christina L. How are we work? Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others on page 103, the first paragraph. We are careful never to show intolerance, ending with told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. And this morning, Susan G. is going to read for us. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Lynn, and good morning, everybody. So glad we're here together. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered, not cured. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every new alcoholic looks for this spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. A spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved had it not been for such stupidity. We would not even do the cause of temperate drinking any good, for not one drinker in 1,000 likes to be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. I love this. At the end of this chapter, you know, what is the focus on? It's on our code. It's on love and tolerance is our code. And my purpose is to be helpful and not to condemn. In my step work with my sponsees and others and in my family, friends, fellows, et cetera. I think that this is another form. It can be this intemperance, this intolerance, I should say, or hatred of drink of recreational eating, right, as an institution, is another way that my self-centeredness and self-will really express itself. If I can't eat something, then I don't want anybody to eat it. An example for me is I'm in the South, in Tennessee, big football fans, big sports fans, baseball right now, et cetera, And our family, when we get together, we have a party, and it's a feast, you know, it's a buffet, et cetera. And I've long not been eating like that at those events, and my family knows that now, and it's not a topic of or there's no attitude of mine of intolerance for the joy of our family events. It simply means that I have to recognize that's not my power. That's not, and nobody has to act the way I do around food or anything else. So when I came to Vision and was taught surrender and taught acceptance to, I have to care what I'm eating. It had really helped set a trajectory for me of love and tolerance of others. And as I sponsor and work with others, I don't know what you're addicted to or what they are addicted to, but they do, and they have to find that. And in doing that, I do not put up a barrier or an attitude of intolerance or hatred for certain foods or certain food ingredients, because I don't know. I just know for me, I had to determine what that was, and then with the help of a higher power and this program, stay away from that and then live my life according to these principles and traditions, actually. So I will just say that today my purpose is still the same, and it's to be helpful. I'm neutral around all of that, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this code of love and tolerance. There's a lot in this paragraph, and so that's what is coming up for me this morning. I hope it's helpful for you. And I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone else has to share today. Got my pen in hand, paper ready, school's in session. Susan G. in Tennessee, grateful, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan G., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you share it on Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Rossanne.
Melissa C.
Donna S.
Reva P. Reva P.
Okay, I heard Russ M., Melissa C., Donna S., Reva P. Who else would like to share?
Amy M.C.
Anyone
Anna
else?
Yetta R.
Amy M.C.
Yeah, I got you, Amy. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Priscilla H.
Okay, there's our lineup. Thank you. We've got Russ M., Melissa C., Donna S., Reva P., Amy M.C., Hanayeta R., and Priscilla H. Good morning, Russ. Please go ahead. Please press star one, Russ.
All right. Good morning. Good morning, Lynn. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Russ Sam, recovered compulsive eater from Norristown, PA. So love and tolerance is our code. I hear this, look in the mirror, that I've been graced with recovery, God and the 12 steps in this program. Yet, in some ways, I still got an arrogance and attitude on how people live their life, what they're doing with their program, how they treat people on the line, the sponsee's not doing the work, my wife is giving me a hard time, my kids don't clean up. Whoa. When I hear this passage, it's like, bro, you got to look in the mirror, homie. If you had it so figured out, you wouldn't be in a 12-step program and need God's help. I got to stay in my own lane. That's what this tells me. I don't care how you live your life. I got to have that in my mentality. I got to see how Russell lives his life and how he's treating others. Is he coming with compassion and service-oriented activities towards people? Is he – this? It's hard. Getting out of the food, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying that's the first step. I'm scratching the surface. This has got to come from within. I have to change all the way around. Not just being out of the food, working out, you know, getting chores done at home. It's got to be a transformation from the inside. And I still struggle with it because I'm a human being. But the more I stay in my lane, the more I pray that I could serve someone else, that God will give me the strength to shut my mouth, just to shut up. And meet people where they're at. That's where God met me. Like he didn't say, "Yo, Russ, you're perfect, so now you're gonna be clean." No, come at it that way, and it's a way of life. And I'm sure I'll have it figured out about 2 hours after I'm dead. But I gotta keep trying. So thanks for letting me share, and let's keep it rolling. God bless you. Love you.
Thank you, Russ M. Melissa C., you're up, followed by Donna S. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York. And, you know, I like how this paragraph uses the word experience in there, because I'll tell you, I wish I was someone, maybe I don't wish it, but I'm not someone who only learns by reading directions. I have to say that experience has been like a great teacher for me. And basically what that means is that I mess up. And it's the pain of my experience that sort of has given me the greatest education. And so I have had in the past a spirit of intolerance about other people's eating. And, you know, it was hard for me in the beginning to, because I had, especially with my family, I had been bringing food into my house for years that was horrible. You know, I just did not feed my children healthy food. I was always through the drive-thru. And then suddenly it was, no, we're not doing this anymore and no more. And it was, nobody can. And then I learned, you know, like, okay, chill out. Other people, including your children and your husband, have every right to eat whatever they want. And if they do, in fact, have this problem, the worst possible thing you can do is make food the great enemy. And so I learned, you know, one, I might not be the mom that bakes anymore, because I used to bake all the time. And I was like, yeah, I don't need to do that anymore. But I didn't forbid anybody from baking anything. And I might not be the mom that, you know, bought soda. I just felt like it just wasn't my thing to do. But I didn't forbid it from being bought. And my policy was basically, if they asked me for it specifically, I would buy it. But if I went to the store on my own, I was not standing in the snack aisle bringing home unhealthy food. And I thought I was doing so well until one time my daughter, I went to clean out her room, and I found tons of candy wrappers all over and you know, evidence that she'd been eating upstairs. And I had, and I have a family rule, my family rule, we don't eat upstairs in the bedroom. My rules for the family. And I said to her, like, please don't bring it upstairs. We're going to get bugs. You've got to eat it downstairs. And she looked at me and she said, I can't. And I was like, what? And she said, Mom, every time I eat those things, you look at me. And I mean, it was like a dagger to my heart. And I realized I was looking at her with condemnation. And I've had to work really hard on my poker face. You know, it's the experience that tells me, because I think there might be a room for some of the people that I love, but I don't want to turn them off to this program. Food is not my enemy. You know, food was never my enemy. I abused it. You know, I abused it, and today I no longer look at food that way, and I do my best to have a spirit of tolerance and get out of everyone else's business, and hopefully I do better today. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. Donna S., it's your turn, followed by Reva P. And Donna, please tell us where you're calling from. Thanks. Donna, press star one to unmute.
Hi, I'm Donna S. in Boca Raton, Florida. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. As soon as I heard this paragraph this morning, it struck the chord. This is telling me, well, I have a family of all of us are in recovery, but it was not easy. It was over probably 25 years. And I had to keep my hands off of everybody, and everybody's all different recovery. I'm a compulsive overeater. My husband's an alcoholic, drug addict. My children, alcoholic, drugs, and a brother-in-law, both. So when it came to this, I was the first one in recovery in another program, but it took time for me to realize that I got to keep my hands off of whatever the addiction is, food, alcohol, drugs. It doesn't matter. It's none of my business. I have to focus on my own recovery, not what anybody else is doing, what they're eating. When we have our big feasts on the holidays, if I don't eat something, like I heard before, it might come in my house, but that doesn't mean it's my food. And I just let everybody do what they do. That's, you know, I knew how hard it was for me to get abstinent. So they have the same thing in their situations, and I had nothing to do with anybody else's recovery. They all did it on their own time, and in their own way. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna S. Reva P., it's your turn, followed by Amy M.C. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Don has such a great sense of humor that he moves these paragraphs around and puts this one here right exactly when I've just shared some inventory about how my husband's been eating and how my son's been eating. intolerance, unwillingness to accept views, beliefs, or behavior that differ from my own. I have to have some humor about this because what I did with food was insane and I thought disgusting. And I certainly wasn't thinking of health when I was binging. So when my kids were little and I was in program, it was a challenge to keep things balanced. And I remember the first time, faced with the decision, do I give them this or that? My sponsor told me if they are compulsive overeaters, restricting their food is not going to help. And if they're not, it's also not going to help. Like I don't have any control or power by managing somebody else's food, especially my kids. But now my kids are grown-ups, and I've been looking around and looking at the choices they make, including my husband. And who am I? Who am I with my history to decide what is right for anybody else? And I love how it says here that this attitude is not helpful because it comes under the guise of I want them to be healthy. But I have no business getting out of my lane, telling anybody what they can or should or shouldn't eat in the rooms, outside the rooms. And I think this is even broader, intolerance. Am I tolerant of the way people work the program? There's so many different ways of working OA. There's so many different food plans that people have. There's so many ways of accessing and working on the spiritual side of the program. It's such a great reminder that I am not God. I don't know what's best for people. And even if I happen to be right, I don't get in there and control and manage anything else because God has a plan for everybody. And sometimes things that seem not right are the right thing because it brings that person in or out of the rooms closer to where they need to be to find God. So, yeah, really, just a reminder to stay in my lane. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. Amy MC, it's your turn, followed by Hannah Yetta R. And Amy, where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. Excuse me. This is Amy MC calling from Massachusetts. Oh, wow. I love when God gives us right what we need to hear. What I'm reminded of this morning with this passage is a couple of things. One is, yes, love and tolerance is my code. And I need to not judge other people, whether it be folks in the rooms or folks outside of the room. And, you know, so along with this, I'm reminded of, you know, this is a program of self-diagnosis, right? I can't diagnose other people. All I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. And and lo and behold, I can relate and identify with so much what people are saying. You know, I too find candy wrappers in my daughter's room. I too have given people the hairy eyeball when they were eating certain things because, gosh, you know, like I can't have those things. And what I've grown to understand in program is it's not my business. It's not my business what other people eat. It's not my business what other people think about me. It's really not my business. I can show tolerance, pity, and patience, and I'm continuing to hear from God, my higher power, compassion as well. And so what does that mean? That means today, or yesterday, I had to apologize in an email. I had to make amends to a parent because I'm a school teacher. I teach sixth grade. And on, on Monday, we had field day. And I had a student who I care for very deeply, of course. You know, you get to know your students and they're an extension of your family. And she didn't eat her lunch. And it was triggering. And I was like, oh my gosh, you have to eat your lunch. And, you know, then on Tuesday, I had lunch duty again. And now, instead of one student not eating her lunch, I had four girls not eating her lunch. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening, girls? No, no, no. You need to eat, you know. And what did I do? I emailed their families. And that's exactly what I said. I said, hey, listen, on Monday, I had one student didn't eat. And now today is Tuesday, and I had four students not eating. So I am concerned. And P.S., I have history with this situation and restricting and, you know, and I got an email back from a parent last night saying, oh, you know, she gets stomach aches and she eats a lot during the day and this and that. And this wasn't even a student. I mean, yes, she did not eat, but I know she has a history of other things as well. But I had to say, gosh, I'm so sorry if I overstepped, you know, because even here, even as a teacher, it's not my business. I get to share and I get to, you know, share my experience, strength, and hope, even with my students and, you know, certainly with their parents when need be. But at the end of the day, thank you. I heard that at the end of the day, I can't diagnose somebody else. And all I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Amy MC from Massachusetts. Hannah Yetta R., it's your turn, followed by Priscilla H. Good morning, Hannah Yetta.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for your service. This is Hannah Yetta R. from Texas. I am in Plano, right outside Dallas, but I'm going to Houston tomorrow. Any Houston gals out there, let me know. I'll be there. Anyway, thank you again for letting me share. This paragraph does have experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. The attitude of, you know, hatred towards drinking or hate, you know, like I have to be tolerant of everyone, no matter what the situation is, whether it's with food or just my husband being annoying
or my daughter telling me things that I don't want to hear, or my granddaughter complaining all the time, whatever it is, I need to, it's not just about the food, it's just everything in my life, because once I put down the food and I'm neutral with the food and I'm not dealing with that type of craziness in my life, then all of a sudden my life gets big and in front of me and I have to really look at it. And I did, you know, and I did want to comment on the fact say about not having different foods in the house. You know, we just came off a holiday that people eat. Well, there were times that I would buy a great big cheesecake and eat the whole thing and have enough to give my husband a couple of pieces. But I bought cheesecake, slices of cheesecake, and get it for my husband, and I had it in the house. And you know what? It was okay. It didn't call me. It didn't say eat me. It didn't say anything. It was just there in the refrigerator, and it was for him, and that was it, which is like a total miracle, you know. But I have things. I had a sponsor that told me one time, I asked him, I said, he had ice cream in the freezer, and I said, please, just eat the stupid thing of ice cream. And I told her that I told him that, and she goes, you have no business telling him that. It's his ice cream. He'll eat it when he wants, and it's not yours. It's none of your business. Quit micromanaging him. You know, quit doing that to him. And it really taught me that if he brings it in the house, then he brings it in the house. You know, I'm not, I can't be the police. I can't be the food police.
I'm pleased.
Thank you. And I can't hold grudges, and I can't, you know, all of these things. You know, all I know is if you're out there and you're struggling with the food, just keep coming back. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. I love you all. Thank you so much again, Lynn.
Thank you, Honorietta R. from Texas. Priscilla H., good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is Priscilla H., grateful to be recovered physically and otherwise recovering in New Jersey. These last couple of paragraphs, last few paragraphs in this story really are speaking to me. I've highlighted and circled where it says a spirit of intolerance might repel addicts of any kind. I think you can certainly extend that to people who have some kind of food issues, eating disorders. there are probably not too many of us in this meeting who can recall the days of World War II, but I can. I'm almost 89, and I can remember the days of World War II. When food was rationed, much food was rationed, sugar was rationed in particular, and I think meat might have been also, but the sugar definitely was rationed, and there were not a lot of sweets around, not a lot of sweet things around. And you did not see, if you look back at newsreels from those days, it was rare to see someone who was even overweight, and not to mention obese. Obesity just didn't exist because there wasn't that much food available during World War II for reasons that most of us would not even remember. Where am I going with this? I could go on and on and on about this, but I won't. What I will say is that when people at family gatherings encourage me to have a serving of this dessert or a glass of that beverage, I say no thanks, and if they push a little bit more, I say, I don't have that because I like it too much. And they just, generally they laugh and then they leave me alone. But if they continue to push, then that's my opportunity to tell them that I'm actually in a 12-step recovery program for that issue. It's an opportunity. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Priscilla H. from New Jersey. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we are continuing our study of the Big Book and the chapter Working with Others, and we're on page 103, the first paragraph. We are careful never to show intolerance. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Rita S.
Natalie. Canada.
Okay. Let me tell you who I heard, please. I heard Rita N., Natalie, and I heard Donna M., and that's all. Who did I miss, please?
Diane G., Canada.
Roz G.
Okay, thank you. I heard Donna M., Diane G., Roz, and there was somebody else I missed.
Sarah G.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm hearing two people at once. Is there a Sarah?
Yes.
And after Sarah, who was there?
Lori G.
Okay, great. Got it. Thank you. This is our lineup then. Rita N., Natalie, Donna M., Diane G., Roz G., Sarah, and Lori G. So we'll see if we get everybody in. And please, when you're sharing, tell us where you're calling from. And Rita N., it's you. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Rita S., like in Sam, in Florida.
Thank you.
And, you know, when I get up in the morning, I do my morning ritual, read my books, pray. And, you know, as a Christian, they always tell you, you know, you can't push, you can't judge, you can plant a seed. The way you act, people might want what you have. And the same thing in this program. It's far more for me than the food, you know. And this morning, this song came on, and I usually do, you know, prayer meditation in the morning. And it said, if you hurt me, if you curse me, I will bless you. And if you hurt me, I'll forgive you. And if you hate me, then I will love you. And I chose the godly way. And then it said, I wrote it down, now I can't find it. But it said, if you're helpless, I'll defend you. If you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then I will show you the way. I choose the godly way. And for me, that says it all. Because this program is so much more about giving than receiving. And we do receive. We receive the gift of abstinence, that's for sure. But if we follow the real principles, and you know, you can plant a seed by not only, you know, people notice if you lose weight, how'd you do it? We all have done that. What did you do? What did you take? You know, and sometimes we still go out there and want to do a quick way, but there's no quick way, because even if there was all these magic shots that they're putting out there and all these magic pills and we were thin tomorrow morning, we're still not going to be happy. We're still, the program is more about an inside job for me. I mean, I have to live my life different. I don't judge people anymore. I try not to, but I'm not perfect. There's only one perfect person that lives in heaven. But I try my best to live the principles and the 12 steps. And then the food becomes neutral. It's like, you know, you just say, you know, pray before you put it in your mouth. Make a call. Say, God, should I eat this? Help me with this. Do whatever it takes to wake up in the morning and feel good like this. And at my age, I'm pushing 80, I feel really good. So I thank you all for listening, and this is a wonderful program, but it's not about the food, and it's not about telling everybody that they need to do it. It's about what God has us do. Thank you.
Thank you, Rita S. from Florida. Natalie, good morning. It's your turn, followed by Donna M. And Natalie, can we have your last initial and where you're calling from, please?
Hi, Lynn. Thank you so much. Yep, this is Natalie S., and I'm calling from Indiana. And, you know, this meeting was one of the first meeting I was introduced to in OA about 2.5-3 years ago now. And I didn't realize the gift that I was given when I was given the big book, the AA 12 and 12, this meeting, and a couple others. And over the course of the last 2 years, I've been able to see how much I'm intolerant of myself. And what this paragraph reminds me of is that, gosh, you know what? I am so ashamed, so pitiful, so demoralized, self-deprecating, that it's so much easier to look at other people and condemn them and say, oh, well, look what she's doing, and oh, well, gosh, that she's that way or he's that way, or judging people I don't even know for the way they look. And it's only by these steps that I'm able to do that. And I still fall short, you know. Every day, it's when I'm when I feel discomfort, when, you know, I have a food thought, or like the strangest thing for right now, I got to get a bone density scan, right? What do I want to do? I want to eat calcium. Really, Natalie? You've got to be kidding me. That thought never came in. But what I recognize that through the steps now is that that's an area where I'm not willing to surrender. Because what I'm finding is, as people have said, you know, this program is about changing my heart. And it's about reorienting the arteries and the veins in my heart to take a totally different view. And as an addict, I can't do that. I have no power to give myself, open my heart, open my chest and my heart every day and have that reorientation. But I will tell you, I do know somebody who can. And that's the power greater than me, which I call God. And every morning, if I don't connect to that power, as if I'm plugging in my battery charger or my phone to get recharged, I'm not going to have the strength. I'm not going to have the power. And you know what? My head's going to go from being in the position of trying to be of service and tolerance and accepting people the way I never felt accepted, to build those relationships. I can't do it. And so that's what this paragraph reminds me of, is that how helpless and powerless I truly am, and how much I need to, if my heart is really set on recovering and living differently, I need to reorient my heart. And the only way I can do that is by submitting my will and my life and everything I have to my higher power. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Natalie S. from Indiana. Donna M. from Canada, good morning. Welcome.
I'm Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. I didn't volunteer to share, Lynn, but since I'm on the line, I'll just simply say that when I look at my food from the point of view of what sets up cravings for me, then it's for me specifically, and so I can't have intolerance to anyone. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna M. Diane G., it's your turn, followed by Roz G. And Diane, where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Canada. So I'm Diane G. from Canada, living in gratitude and living in recovery. And I just love going to watch my 8-year-old grandson play soccer. When he scores a goal, he just slides across the field, puts his hands up, and he thinks he's the most amazing soccer player. And he told his mom the other day, yeah, I have to carry the team. And I wondered what it would take for me to have such confidence. And I can't believe that I'm saying this, but yesterday I was the most famous OA member. My husband had to go in for heart surgery, and we had to leave at 5:45. But I was up at 4:45 making my meals for the day. And when we got to the hospital and he was checked in, I went around and I thanked doctors, nurses, the custodian, the parking lot attendant, security, anybody, thanking them for being there. And when I was taking the elevator up and the elevator opened and somebody was waiting to get in the elevator and it was full, I got out and I gave them my spot. And I'm actually here to brag on God that he is in the miracle business. And on October 12, 2020, he sent his search and rescue team to Saskatchewan, Canada, who found me, dusted me off and brought me to the rooms of OA. And I know why now, so I could find God. Because if I wouldn't have been in recovery, yesterday would have been all about me. I would have been phoning everybody, poor me, Dave has to go in for heart surgery. I would have been in the cafeteria. I would have been in the vending machine. So if you're new here at the program today, I want to say your search and rescue team has found you. There is future. There is a hope. There are, just stay in the rooms of OA and your miracle will happen. And on that, I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful and serene OA day. Bye.
Thank you, Diane G. from Canada. Roz G., it's your turn. Good morning, Roz. And where are you calling from, please?
Good morning, Lynn, and good morning, everybody. My name's Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And, this big book has taught me so much about the person that I really want to be. Because I was a selfish, the book tells me that the root of my disease is selfish and self-centeredness. And in that, within that package of selfish and self-centeredness is judgmental. And this book teaches me that I am to be, you know, that love and tolerance is my code, and that kindness and loving is what I ask for when I have a resentment, or, you know, when I have resentment, I'm asked to pray for, you know, for God to show me love and tolerance of others and help me to show them kindness, patience, peace, and all that, and serenity and stuff like that. And this shows me that I just need to mind my own damn business for what other people are eating. And, you know, vegans and vegetarians sometimes have this superior attitude about what they eat. And that's also another form of superiority, if you ask me. And I had that, you know, I had that spirit as well. So I just want to be kind and loving. I want to mind my own business and not give an attitude of superiority or judgmentalism on what they are eating. Before recovery, my poor kids had to suffer through no cookies in the house and no this in the house because I didn't read this book. I went to meetings where this book was sitting on the table and, you know, as a literature item, but was not opened. And I would say that was a spirit of intolerance. I'm so glad that I learned through other programs as well, relationship programs, to mind my own business and to keep my side of the street clean. So what I eat is my business, and what you eat is your business, even in recovery, even at conventions when we're eating together. I just want to look in your eyes and love you as a human being, have my food plan and know what is good for me. And, you know, I will talk with sponsees about what they need to eat in the beginning. Of course, you know, that comes with the doctor's opinion. But later on, you know, when it comes to me being around and just living life, I just need to keep my mouth shut and be kind and loving. And that's the kind of person I want to be. And I sure do have a lot of friends, so I'm grateful for that. But in order to have friends, I must be friendly. So I'm going to go ahead and pass, and thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Sarah, good morning. It's your turn, and if we could have your last initial and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, good morning. This is Sarah G., calling from New York. Yeah, you know, at one point, you know, working the 12 steps or even being in relapse, I would look at other people and watch them eat, and it would be really hard for me. Like, why can they do it and I can't, you know, and that they could have it in moderation, and, you know, and now at times, you know, it's the same side of the coin where I think like, oh, well, I eat healthy and, well, look at them, you know, and, you know, I don't, that's not a way that God wants me to think, you know. It's, no one's better than anyone else. We're all, you know, here in this world, whether you're in program or not in program, we're all here to serve God. And I want to be humble and grateful for today. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Sarah G. from New York. Lori G., good morning. It's your turn. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Lori. Sorry, I was muted. What do I say? I'm, again, grateful to be up early, and thank you all so much for your service. Thank you, especially Lynn. I guess what jumped out at me is when I lived in Los Angeles many years ago, I was invited to be on jury duty, and at the time, at the time I was a teetotaler, which I didn't even know what that meant at the time, but I was afraid of alcohol and not interested in any way. And when they asked if anyone was a teetotaler, I raised my hand and they said, well, we'd like to thank and excuse you. And I found out, what I figured out was the person on trial must have had something to do with liquor and like possibly drunk driving, or I don't know, but I was so angry. Like, how dare you judge me and not let me be part of this trial just because I don't drink? And later, after getting in program and figuring out, or, you know, learning how to do 10 steps, I had to look at her side of it. And if I were in her position, I wouldn't want a teetotaler either. I wouldn't. I mean, without knowing me, I could have judged her and said she was guilty just because I didn't like alcohol. I don't know. But anyway, it gave me new perspective. And now I live with someone who has said he's a food addict. I'm not so sure. I think maybe he's a hard eater, but not my place to judge, not my place to decide what he should eat or not. And I do struggle with that sometimes, wanting to fix him, but God is teaching me every day I need to let go, and what he eats is none of my business, and I just need to recover. So I think that's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much for everyone who's listening and encouraging me. And thank you for a wonderful meeting. Thanks.
And where are you calling from, Lori, please?
Colorado, sorry.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Lori G. from Colorado. Thank you to everyone who shared. And thank you to Team Wednesday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, June the 11th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 22512. That's 22512. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Reva P., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.